This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Mohamed Majoub left Egypt in 1991 after he had been detained and tortured by the Mubarak regime. He went first to Saudi Arabia and then Sudan. He eventually came to Canada and was granted refugee status in 1996. He settled in Toronto, married, and had children. In June 2000, Mr. Majoub was arrested on a security certificate and put in detention. He remained in jail or under house arrest for the next 12 years. In January this year, a federal court removed most of the restrictions on Mr. Majoub. He no longer has to wear a GPS tracking device, he's able to use limited internet and cell phone, and his phone calls and mail are no longer automatically monitored. He is also able to use the subway and change his residence without the prior approval of the government. However, the security certificate against him is still in force and the government's case continues. Last year, Mr. Majoub went on a speaking tour telling Canadians his story. This month, he came to Western Canada speaking in Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Victoria. We recorded the event in Vancouver and we'll bring you some excerpts this morning. We join the story as Mr. Majoub talks about his first contact with CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, in 2000.
When I came to Canada, less than a year, I was granted refugee status. Until today, I still have refugee status. When CSIS interrogated me in my residence and in their office, they never say to me they are CSIS official. They said they are immigration official, which they lie as usual. Most of the time they lie to me, they lie to in court, they lie to every individual, as all of you know. One of them insulted me. She said, I can insult your religion, insult your prophet, insult your Lord, and so on. I said, there is no need. You can insult me, I will take it. There is no need to go further. She threatened me to deport me. But it is not the point. The point is, she wrote a false, complete false report. In 2000, in June 26 of 2000, I was on my way to work. I got out of a streetcar. And a sudden, I was waiting to cross the street. I found myself surrounded by six or seven vehicles, and in a sudden, many officers came out of those car. Police, I was looking right and left. I found myself, I'm the target. They arrested me. After they arrested me, I said to them, guys, why you didn't call me? Several times you called me, and I came to your office. Why you have to make this show? They arrested me in Hollywood style. There is no need for this. But as all of us knew what's going on when it comes to arrest somebody, they claim, oh, he is dangerous, he can has a weapon, and so on and so forth. They took me straight to the airport. An hour and a half later, they put me at Metro's detention center. I was beaten very bad, very severely by five of my jailer, five guard. At Metro's detention center, they beat me bad in my spine, which I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything for a month and a half. From 2000 till September 11th, I was in general population. At one point, I went to court in regular vehicle. When I came back from court, one of the staff asked me to strip search me, which I did everything. I took off all my clothes, and he asked me to touch my toes, which I did. He asked me, open your ass. I said, what for? I'm a Muslim, practice my belief, and I'm not hiding anything in my ass. He said, you are a fucking Muslim terrorist. You should be killed, and all Muslims around the world should be killed. This is Canada. This is a Canadian official who runs this country. And this individual is still alive, still has, still working. Nothing happened to him. Nothing happened to him. And he turned his face to every inmate in AMD, asking them, why you didn't harm this fucking Muslim tourist who convicted in absentia for 15 years? I shocked. I kept silent. I write Kumbelian. Then, both September 11 happened. A day later, they took me from general population, they put me in segregation, naked, completely, just suicide watch gown. In a dark cell, there is no window, there is no light at all, whatsoever, there is no toilet. For a week, completely dark, which affects my eyesight. The cell is freezing. Right away, I got death threat from every individual in, or most of individual in at Metro's detention center. That's why I ask for myself to be protected. I spent 3 years in segregation for my own protection from the staff. And all of them still working, still free. But if any one of us threaten any official, he or she will face their life in a prison. Because we are normal people. We are not governor. We are not official. They denied to have access for medical treatment as well. I had infection in my teeth for 8 months. There is no medical treatment at all whatsoever until I lost five of my teeth. And each time I asked to see a dentist, which is 2 meters far from segregation unit, they said, you have to pay. You have to pay a doctor. You have to pay a dentist. I said, guys, I'm a prisoner. But anyway, I have to go for hunger strike for 83 days to have a medical treatment like anybody else who commits heinous crime. And I was subject as well for sexual assault by Canadian official after September 11. It happened here before it happened in Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. This is Canada, this is a democratic society. Should we be proud of ourselves or our government? I don't think so, unless there is justice has to be done. I made a complaint, I have to go again for hunger strike. And each time I have to go to hunger strike, I went at least in my time in detention 12 times for hunger strike. Just to get my right, my fundamental basic of right, as anybody else in detention whom commit heinous crime. They put me in a cell in a freezing in winter time. Too hot in summer time. They gave me paper cup to drink for two and a half months. One paper cup to drink water, coffee, and to use it in the toilet. Because I'm a Muslim, I practice my belief in a daily basis. Whenever I use the toilet, I have to clean myself because I can't pray without cleaning myself. You know what I mean? Each time I ask them, nobody care. Nobody care. Who you are? You are a Muslim terrorist. This is what they always call me. You know what I mean? Who is the terrorist? Is me or a Canadian official who is threatened to kill me and to kill all Muslims around the world? Who is the terrorist here? They should ask themselves, who is the terrorist in first place? And so on and so forth. There is many times they denied my family to visit me. I had two little boys, 6 and 4. They come to visit me. At one point, they participate in rally with everybody else in front of the detention center. Next time when they came, they said, no, we are not going to let you to see your dad because you participate in rally. This is a democratic society as well. This is Canada. We should be proud of ourselves. But we have to speak out. We have to raise our voice. We have to raise concern. We have to share our story with each other to see our country where it is going on. Any time I go to from detention to courthouse, just imagine. They put me in 6 or 7 black vehicle, 10 white motorcycle, shut down the whole way from Metro's detention center all the way to the courthouse. Machine gun, laser gun, sniper above, helicopter over my head. It's a joke. I swear to God, it's a joke. They spent millions of dollars from your pocket, by the way. Until today, the government of Canada, CSIS and CBSA spent over $1 billion in the 5 security certificate cases. Over $1 billion. I have received. I'm not exaggerating anything. I'm underestimating what is going on. Because the people, maybe they said this man is crazy. Even when I was in detention as well, they took me instead of Mr. Mahmoud Jaballah. They sent me to court. I said, guys, I have no court today. They took me with regular inmate in a regular vehicle. Just guess, imagine what happened. When they tried to turn, they found out they made a mistake at courthouse. They have to call RCMP, OBB, Immigration Department, CSIS, CBSA to send me back in a big show. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you. I said, guys, I came with everybody. Send me, why you have to make this big scene? You know what I mean? And the elevator, I found out all the staff at courthouse, CEO, was waiting to see who Osama bin Laden. At least 20 staff of the courthouse waiting to see Mahjoub. I said, God bless you guys. This is the only thing I said to them. God bless you all.
We're listening to Mohammed Majoub. He was detained without charge under a security certificate for 12 years. Even though many of the restrictions against him were lifted after a federal court ruling, he is still living under the security certificate and is still subjected to constant physical surveillance. We recorded his talk in Vancouver on April 12th, and we're bringing you some excerpts this morning. We'll return to the talk by Mohammed Majoub. We rejoin his presentation as he talks about the construction of the Kingston Immigration Holding Center in 2006.
The government of Canada, after we went to hunger strike several times at Metro's detention center, they decided to build concentration camp for 5 Muslims at Kingston Immigration Holding Center. This concentration camp, a Canadian call it Guantanamo North. I called it concentration camp because Hitler built concentration camp for a Jew. Nobody else went there. Canada built concentration camp for 5 Muslims, which I'm one of them. As George W. Bush built concentration camp for Muslims in Guantanamo Bay as well. There is no difference between Canada, United States, and so on. I have to be very clear. This concentration camp built for us, and imagine how much money they spent to build this small 5 cell for 5 Muslims. They spent $3.5 million. I myself spent 1 year there. They spent on me alone $2.2 million. If they put me in a best hotel in Canada, they will save a lot of money. Seriously. They transfer me from Metro's detention to Kingston Immigration Holding Center by a special jet, belong to RCMP, red carpet, and they treated me like a president or prime minister. Honestly, sometimes I feel I would like to cry. Why? Because they spent millions of millions. They can feed poor people. They can build houses for homeless. They can improve education. They can do a lot of stuff instead of to try to put fear in the heart of Canadian to tell them, oh, we have terrorists. Where is the terrorist? If I am a terrorist, why I am here in first place today? You know what I mean? If I am a danger to Canadian society, I have flown from Toronto to Calgary, from Edmonton to Vancouver, and so on and so forth. Same thing happened last year. Nothing happened at all. Mahjoub is still Mahjoub. The only thing that changed is my age and my my hair has become gray. And I spent, or we spent a few months or a year or less or at Kingston Immigration Holding Center, then they released us under house arrest. The house arrest is more severe than the detention. Why? Because myself and all my family jailed with me. Nobody allowed to enter my residence at all whatsoever, unless my jailer, which CBSA and CSS approved him or her. Two, the phone is tapped, security camera, two-way video. I can't enter even the backyard. I have to stay 24/7 in my residence, which is tiny place. Same thing with my kids, with my wife, and so on and so forth. My family play double role. They jailed with me, and they was my jailer as well, because they have to monitor me 24/7. And I wasn't allowed even to sit with my kids by myself. Just imagine, are we in Canada? I've never seen this happen in Egypt, to be honest with you. Mubarak never done this to any individual. Why I should prohibited to not to, to sit with my kids? What should I do to my kids? Or what a judge think? Mahjoub gonna do, do you think, any one of you gonna think, I will harm my kids? If I harm my kids, I didn't harm anybody else. But this is Canada. This is the democratic society we live until today. My family couldn't take the house arrest at all, because the phone was tapped. They couldn't communicate with anybody. Nobody can't come to visit us. We was isolated completely. And CBSA was following my family outside of my residence. Even I wasn't with them at that time, because I was subject to physical surveillance 24/7. Also, electronic GPS bracelet 24/7. It's very severe. I can take it, but my family couldn't take it. I saw my family completely collapsed within 2 years. I have to take it on me again. I have to call my jailer, which CBSA. I said, guys, come to arrest me. They said, you didn't do anything wrong. I have to call a cab. I have to violate a court order. I have to take my wife to go to my jailer to surrender myself. I ended up going back to detention for one more year, from 2009, at the beginning of 2010, to protect my family and to protect my family's right. But it was late. After a judge decided to release me, my family said, sorry, we are not going to accept you anymore to come to our residence. This is Canada. And I lost my family, I lost my wife, I lost my kids. We deforested, and I didn't see my kids until today. And this is Canada. Sorry, it's emotional. Also, I would like to bring to your attention, the government of Canada have been caught in several scandals in my case, in particular in my case, such as in 10 years, CBSA and CSIS was intercepted my all my communication with my lawyer. Whenever I called my lawyer, they record my communication, they look at it, they analyze it, we couldn't make any progress at all. Any progress at all. Until we found out they was listening. That's why we couldn't make any progress. Also, they continue even after the after a judge ordered them not to listen. They continue to listen to my communication with my lawyer for 2 more years, which they doesn't care about the judge. Who they have the upper hand above the law, above the judges and court and, as well, which is very very unusual circumstances in my case. In the summer of 2011, the Department of Justice's lawyer entered my breakout room in at on the courthouse, and they stormed 60 boxes full of document. All most of the document is confidential document. They transferred this document from the courthouse to Department of Justice's office. They look at it, they copy it, they analyze it, and so on. A month and a half later, or 2 months, they called me, Mahjoub, sorry, we took some material from your case. This is unusual. This is Canada. They stolen all my document. And we have to separate our document from their document because they mixed up to make it look good. To make it look good. And the judge ended up fired 11 lawyers from the Department of Justice in my case. And so on, and the case is still on and on and on. Also, a judge found out the government of Canada was relying on information obtained by torture, which, as I've said, in 1999, I was convicted in absentia for 15 years in the case, it's called the Retainee from Albania case. A Canadian judge found out in 2010, all this accusation against me is based on torture, and he exclude all this allegation completely. And recently, after the Mubarak, the regime change in Egypt, I hired some lawyer in Egypt to work in my behalf, and they reopened the case. After they reopened the case, the court in Egypt cleared my name for the same reason, because the information was obtained by torture. And even as Hassan mentioned, the head of CSIS stated to Stockwell Day, if we didn't use the information obtained by torture in Mahjoub's case, there is no case against Mahjoub. But Stockwell Day blindly, he signed the document. He signed the certificate in 2008, and he encouraged the immigration minister to sign the certificate as well.
We've been listening to Mohammed Majoub, one of the remaining security certificate detainees in Canada. He spoke in Vancouver on April 12th as part of a cross-Canada speaking tour that he embarked on last year after finally being allowed to travel outside of Toronto. If you would like to find out more about Mr. Majoub's case, you can go to supportmajoub.org. Majoub is spelled M-A-H-J-O-U-B.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.